Our next guest, friend of the show, Jay Coffin, editor at golfchannel.com. Ben Ennis here, Jay, is en route to Augusta. He's going to check out the Friday round. It's a bucket list item for him. What can he expect on Friday as you pull into the golf course?
Nice. That's awesome. Good for him. Well, first of all, you're going to have goosebumps on top of goosebumps.
Correct.
Make sure you just get in and go straight down to Amen Corner, no matter how many people are there.
Yep.
Just do it. It's the first thing that has to be done. Don't walk it 1 to 18. Don't walk in order. Just get in, go straight down there and get all that stuff out of the way.
Yeah.
Fight people to get up as close as you can, see all the shots, see everything that you absolutely want to do, and then figure out what you want to do from there. But it's a good deal. I mean, it's just like Disney World. It feels like it on the turnstiles going in.
Yeah.
It feels like it all day long. It's going to be hillier and greener than you can ever imagine. It's going to be terrific.
Yeah, I hear that the hilly thing apparently is really apparent when you go there for the first time. Yeah, the plan for me is to walk through the gates whenever they open. I know the first tee times are 8. I don't know if they open a little bit before that. But just walk the course 1 through 18 once and then set up shop somewhere. Yeah, Amen Corner, check it out. And then eat about 1,000 pimento cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, those things, frankly, disgust me.
I've never had one.
But you do, you know what? You're not going to have 1,000. You're going to have 2 bites, and you're never going to have another one.
There's a reason they're $3.
No, they're $1.
Oh, $1.
And it's not worth it. It's not worth that. It's really isn't.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I got to try one. It is a Southern thing. All right. So, I had this whole line of questioning about today's par 3 contest because, as we know, nobody's won this thing and then won the main tournament, and then it's gassed. Although Mike Weir had a hole in one before they called it, which stinks for him. But yeah, guys actually are aware of that, right? Like, if somebody was leading it headed into the final hole, that par 3, they'd be throwing it in the drink, right?
It's happened more times than you can imagine. People don't want to admit that they know that it's a thing, but everybody absolutely knows that it's a thing. Yeah, I've had people put it off the green into the water in the last one, hit it in the water, have their kid hit a shot to make them not eligible for the final score. So yet people absolutely know it and do everything they can almost not to win the thing.
He's Jay Coffin, the editor at golfchannel.com. Masters coverage begins tomorrow. Our own Ben Ennis will be there watching the round on Friday at Augusta National. Now, you're not allowed cell phones on the course, but hopefully you can call us from the phone bank.
Yeah. I don't know. How does that work, Jay? Because, yeah, I can't even bring my cell phone in as a patron. Is that correct?
No, do not even think about it.
So
leave it in the car. Like, I'm telling you, don't. You're not – you can't sneak it past anybody. Just don't even think about it.
So how do I – but there are phones, right? Like, I can call back here somewhat. What if somebody had – like, what if I had a family emergency? How
then
would someone get a hold of me?
Shouldn't be going.
It's just – yeah, exactly. Just make sure you don't have a family emergency.
Okay.
Come on, what are you thinking?
Yeah. I'll work on that.
Jordan Spieth's going to be a talking point because we all remember what happened at the infamous 12th hole a year ago. It was one of the toughest things we've ever watched. I imagine this has been a week and he's answered a lot of questions about it. We'll see how he bounces back, I suppose, in a way.
Yeah, for sure. And there are two schools of thought. I mean, it's either one side or the other, and the one side is, he's played here 3 times and never finished worse than second, right? Finished second, first, and second. So, no matter how bad that 12th hole was last year, this is a place where he feels good, and there's, no reason to believe that maybe that he can't do it again. But there are others, too, who think, hey, you know what? Yeah, he's played well a little bit this year, and he was a little testy yesterday answering some of the questions, rightfully so. He's sick of answering them over a year, and that it may still take a little while to get this out of his system, that it's hard to expect him to bounce back the very next year and jump up there and win or contend. But I don't know, man. There's something about this place that he loves, and it's just hard for me to envision that guy laying an egg around here for 4 days.
But everybody's watching Dustin Johnson right now, mm-hmm. Jay. He's just, I mean, the potential was always there for him, and he cracked through with the major and all that, and he just looks unbeatable because if he's rolling it at all on the greens, he just out-hits mm-hmm. everybody. Is this finally it for him at the Masters?
I don't know. There's no such thing as a sure thing, especially without Tiger around these days. So you know, obviously winning his last three and even including a match play event. And I mean, he's the guy, he's the betting favorite. So that means everybody's betting him and sort of expecting him to be up there. And he's played well the last 2 years too. I mean, it's tied for sixth and tied for fourth the last 2 years. So you couple that with his form right now, and that's, you know, it all sort of equals up to, you know, to finding a way to get it done. But I just don't know, you know, until you put yourself in that position again. You know, the whole U.S. Open last year, remember what a mess that was. It was good that he was able to step on it and kind of let all the other guys fall back down the stretch to, you know, for that penalty not to matter. So he has closed the door, but he had quite a few major demons and scar tissue before that. So this is a big one, man. I mean, this is the Masters. This is what these guys grew up wanting to win. And even as Americans, yeah, you want to win the U.S. Open, but the Masters, just with the tradition, being to come back and you know, go to the Champions Dinner and the green jacket and Magnolia Lane and all the mystique and lore that goes with it, it could be a big deal, man. And if he's in the lead or in the hunt, you know, on the back nine on Sunday, yeah, sure, it wouldn't surprise me, but it's just a long way to go. I don't think you can just easily anoint him the Masters champion this year.
Last year, Danny Willett was 125-1, I believe. Like, that was the long shot. And this has kind of been a thing we've seen, I guess. Unlikely is the word. Masters winners, five of the last six were guys that entered play 20-1 or higher. I think the clubhouse favorite did not exactly take this home. Are we going to see a similar trend? Is there a couple of unlikely winners that maybe you're keeping an eye on?
Well, I hope it's not a trend, right? Because look, I love the underdog story and, you know, epic victories for the little guy. And, you know, that's kind of why we love sports in general. And in golf, it tends to happen. You know, you mentioned all those guys, Danny Willett, and, you know, even Trevor Immelman and even Zach Johnson to a point back when he won. Just these guys, it tends to happen around here. But, man, I just want to see the big guys win the big events. And it's not just because I work for the Golf Channel and it's going to help with ratings and it's going to be interesting. I just want to see the big guys. I just want to see them at the biggest events go head-to-head and duke it out. Now, I'm not foolish enough to think that all of them are going to contend. You know, it's not going to be Rory and Spieth and DJ and Day and Phil. They're not all going to be in the top 10 on Sunday. It's just not going to happen. But it's not crazy to believe that two or three of them will and find a way to duke it out. So I hope that happens.
Yeah,
some
you're
of the
right.
other guys, you know, I mean, guys, there's a guy I've been hot on, Paul Casey, just an Englishman that's, you know, ranked in the top 20 in the world that nobody talks about, but he's finished here fourth and sixth the last couple of years. Matthew Fitzpatrick, another Englishman that is very young and not that many people know about, doesn't have a lot of experience around here, but he's played well around here. So there are people who are playing well now who have played well here in the past, but I hope it's all those big names.
Adam Hadwin's a guy we're all going to be paying attention to here north of the border. Has the victory, has the 59. I don't imagine he's yet into the consciousness of the average golf fan out there, or is he? Like, where is Adam Hadwin? I mean, in an era where there's four guys that have been really, really dominant at times over the last half decade.
Yeah, sure. And I would have been disappointed if I did not get an Adam Hadwin question, by the way. I wasn't going to let you get me off the phone unless I got one. But I don't know if he's I think when he pops up on a leaderboard now, people aren't necessarily surprised. So while he's not somebody that people are thinking about earlier in the week, when he does pop up on the leaderboard, I think that he's a guy that has some name recognition, if that makes any sense, for all those reasons that you had talked about. So, you know, yeah, I think it's a little bit too early to talk about a major or even, you know, the Masters this week, you know, things like that. But he's a guy that when he pops up on the leaderboard he's going to pop up on the leaderboard, and it should not be a surprise when that happens. And people are starting to recognize that name more and more the more often he does that.
Jay Coffin joins us on the Andrew Walker Show. Andrew Walker, Ben Ennis. So here's a question. How inclusive or non-inclusive is the golf community when it comes to media types? Tony Romo is quitting football. He's going to go into broadcasting. He's going to be the lead dog for CBS. Mm-hmm. But he's a good golfer, and he likes golf. So he wants to also do golf coverage eventually. Is this something that the golf media community will welcome or bristle at?
I don't know. It's weird. It's weird because, you know, a few of us were talking about it yesterday when that news came down, and it was, you know, it was all about football and everything. And then later in the afternoon, it comes out that, hey, you know, he wouldn't mind being able to call golf. So we're sitting in the Masters press room looking at, like, really? So it's one thing about, you know, to go straight from, you know, the sidelines into the booth for, you know, for football, but then golf. I know he's played some high-level amateur events and things like that. I mean, I guess you can look at it two ways. You know, one thing, it is sort of an outsider of sorts, although he's a good player, but different voices are not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, he's got some game. You know, he probably plays better than half the people who are announcing golf right now. So, you know, although I don't contend that that's a prerequisite or at all, I guess we just need to see how he gets his feet under him in football first before we even worry about going off onto other sports, because he's got big shoes to fill. It's hard just, you know, is he going to be able to, how brutally honest is he going to be on former teammates and old owners and coaches and things like that? So I think it's something he's got to get his feet wet on the sport that he knows best before we worry about dipping his toe in what is basically his recreational sport.
Yeah, but golf kind of does lend itself to that type of thinking, though, doesn't it, Jay? Where everybody's like, I golf, I can talk about golf. Everybody knows golf. Sure. I mean, if Tiger Woods tomorrow decided he wanted to be the lead analyst on NFL coverage, well, first of all, yeah, the answer would be yes. But yeah, there would be a different, like there would be a little more critical eye, I think, given to that than Tony Romo going into the golf booth, I think.
I absolutely agree for the reasons that you just said. That's a good point. Yeah.
He is Jay Coffin. Enjoy the week. I'm sure my colleague here, Ben Ennis, will enjoy and steer clear of the pimento cheese sandwiches.
I gotta try one.
That's the advice.
It's, you know what? If I only eat a bite or two, it's only a dollar, right, Jay? You would at least advise me to have a bite of one.
Yeah, that's fine. And our Charlie Reimer, one of ours, takes an egg salad and a pimento cheese and makes two sandwiches together out of them and calls it egg mento.
Oh.
So if you're feeling frisky, you want to try that one out.
That all sounds terrible. Enjoy the week. Thanks, Jay.
All right, boys.